See, welcome back to another nugget of truth at Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers in Jerusalem. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but that should be obvious. The book of Hebrews, written to the Hebrews. And it was written around 65 AD, after Jesus passed on to be with the Father. And what's interesting is that Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. So it was clear that the Levitical system, the system of sacrifices and all that was associated with the Old Testament was passing away because of the Roman occupation. And the purpose of the book of Hebrews was to demonstrate that everything the Jews had trusted in had passed or was passing away, but that something better was coming into place. It's described in the book of Hebrews as a better covenant, a better sacrifice, a better temple, and better promises. The key word in the book of Hebrews is faith, but the second most important word is the word better. The New Testament, the covenant of grace, is better than the Old Testament or the covenant of law. The word better is more properly understood as stronger. It is a stronger covenant. And it's used 12 times in the book of Hebrews. And if you look on the screen, you'll see the 12 citations of the word better in the book of Hebrews. Now, the old covenant of law was important and significant. We don't want to take away from that. But it was a covenant that could only result in death and not life. Romans 8:2 tells us that. Remember, the old covenant proved this. The law was impossible for man to keep. While the commands of God are righteous and true, the law did not give man the power to obey. Rather, it only revealed how desperately we needed a Savior. Galatians 3:22 through 25 explains that to us. The law, with its rituals, its rules, and sacrifices for sins, was not sufficient to deal with the source, the root of man's problem, and that is that tendency to sin, the sin nature. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 10 explains that. Now, the new covenant is a better covenant because it is a covenant of life. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham, remember we talked about him last time, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. The promises in the Old Covenant were primarily about the present life and material blessings. That's the Old Covenant. They were promises that included long life, increase in numbers, seed time and harvest, national privileges, and extraordinary peace, abundance, and prosperity. But the focus of the new covenant is the promise of spiritual blessings. In other words, it's the spiritual blessings that become the central benefit of our faith in Christ. And those spiritual blessings are available because of the free gift of the Holy Spirit living in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 explains that. And the Holy Spirit, who will teach us and lead us, John 16:13, in an overcoming life on earth, Romans 8:37. You see, in the new covenant, our Lord does promise to provide for our needs. We talked about that in the last message. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that you need will come unto you. That was Matthew 6:25 through 34. But see, in the new covenant, our hearts are also directed towards heaven. We're reminded of the temporary nature of this life and that this is not our eternal home. Our souls are at peace with the assurance, the confidence of eternal life, the favor or grace of God, and the anticipation of heaven. I'll tell you, you know, it's difficult to go from something that maybe you've learned to something new. The learning process is often a challenge. We often use the phrase, there's a learning curve before you receive the benefit. And people in their natural way of thinking often cling to old ways of doing things because those ways are familiar and comfortable. The same can be true of learned traditions or religious beliefs that are not rooted in the new covenant. The old is familiar, so it can be difficult to change them to fit the requirements of the new covenant. And if we're not careful, we can develop strong convictions based on false or erroneous teachings. The new covenant requires a radical change in thinking about life in God and salvation. And it's very different from the law of the old covenant and the religious traditions of that day. Jesus often addressed this issue with the Pharisees. In one encounter, Jesus confronted the religious leaders, the Pharisees, regarding their love of rituals and traditions as opposed to the truth. And we see that in Luke 5, verses 33 through 39. Sadly, many of the practices and beliefs of the Pharisees were not based on the law as given by God, but were based on traditions developed over many years and then considered to be equal with God's laws. Mark 7, verses 1 through 8 deals with that. How traditions, you know, if we're not careful, we can think that God spoke those words of traditions when in fact he did. Today, as in Jesus' day, preferring the old rituals can keep people from embracing the new covenant promises and the free salvation that Jesus gives to us. See, Jesus understood that the old can often seem good enough because it's familiar. Because Jesus says, "And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better." That's Luke 5:39. The familiar can make one reluctant to let go of old ideas, traditions, or beliefs. Now, beliefs that are based on the traditions of men and not on the word of God become like chains of bondage. Trying to serve the terms of the old covenant today can also be like chains of bondage, especially in the light of the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you would abide in my word, you are my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's John 8:31 and 32. Jesus came full of grace and truth, John 1:14, for the purpose of setting his people free. Now, there are some who are suspicious of the message of grace because they see grace as a weakness or as permission to sin. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Apostle Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's Romans 6, 1 and 2. See, grace is not a license or a liberty or an excuse to sin. As a matter of fact, Jesus makes it clear that grace demands even more of us than did the law. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 20 through 48, and I'm paraphrasing now, for instance, the law says not to murder. Grace says to not even get angry at someone. The law says not to commit adultery, but grace says to not even look at another with lust in your heart. You see, the demands of grace are greater, but the power and authority that Jesus has given us through his Holy Spirit makes us more than conquerors in every situation. Grace requires more, because Jesus seeks to transform our hearts, to change us from the inside out. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20, and Matthew 23, verses 25 to 28, explains or goes into more detail about that. We're not to be actors who know how to go through outward religious motions or just follow the rules. We're to be Christians, those who follow Christ and his ways, who from our hearts do what he would do and say what he would say. As I said in my last message, 600 years before Jesus the prophet, Jeremiah in 31:31 said, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. That's the new covenant that we live in today. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, the covenant of the law. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, I was faithful to them. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. See, there's an end, and now there's a new beginning. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember them no more. And so the great news, the wonderful news, the incredible news is that we don't have to work for our salvation. We don't have to work to be righteous and in right standing with God, because God's grace has made all of that available to us. And so we'll talk more about that in our next chapter, or our next episode, I should say. And I look forward to seeing you then. So until then, begin to examine those things that you believe. How much of it is based in the Old Testament? How much of it is based in the New Testament? Remember, the Old Testament was for the Jews. From Genesis to Malachi, and everything in between, it's all about the law and God's chosen people, the people of Israel. But the New Testament is all about Jesus, and that he's made something even better available to the Jews. After all, the early Christians were Jews. But he's also incorporated all people from all tribes, from all nations, to be able to receive the benefit of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. God bless. See you next time.